This is an Inside Slant Football podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another pregame edition of the Inside Slant podcast. I'm your host, Randy Withers. With college football season in full swing, we'll again focus on the gridiron and preview the Jayhawks Week 2 matchup with Central Michigan. Hopefully next week we'll get our man Shea Wildebor back in for some men's basketball talk because recruiting news is starting to pick up with Bill Self's squad. For now, we are ready for some football despite KU coming off a tough 26-23 overtime loss to Nicholls State. With some thoughts on Week 1 and a look ahead, let's bring in Jayhawk Slant publisher and Kansas football insider John Kirby. JK, how you doing, man?
Good, Randy. How you doing?
I'm good. Obviously, super disappointing result from Friday night. I know a lot of us were, that was not the result any of us expected. You've been around this team for a long time. Did you have any kind of feel that things were going to go south like they did against Nicholls State?
No, I didn't. I didn't think they would. There's always the possibility just with Nicholls State, with all the transfers and, you know, being a team with, you know, 16 starters back and just knowing what we've seen from Kansas these last few years, and they've had some games where there have been some hiccups. So I really didn't know what to expect. I wouldn't have bet on anything. I just think Kansas is a better team than Nicholls State. But, hey, the game didn't play out like that, and that's why they play the games.
Let's continue to look back a little bit here. What caught your attention in that matchup in Week 1? Biggest positives and negatives that you saw Saturday night, John?
Well, the only real positive that I saw was special teams. You know, if I'm breaking it down by all three units, they did some pretty good things. Rui was 2 for 2 for field goals. He had a 54-yarder, which is his career-long. They had a nice night punting the football. They blocked a punt. They recovered another punt from Nicholls State. So special teams-wise, I thought things looked really good. It was definitely of the three categories. It was one that was the strongest. In the negative way, definitely the offense. You know, it was disappointing to see what they did overall production with the personnel. They have better personnel up front on the offensive line than what they showed the other night. There's no doubt. They have much better personnel than they did last year. You know, we'll maybe get into this a little bit later. I had a chance to talk to Adeniji and Dwayne Wallace, and, you know, they did talk a little bit about gelling and being part of an offensive line that's been more than just fall camp. You know, you've got to, you know, some of those good offensive lines have been together 2-3 years, and sometimes, you know, they can take guys and mold them quicker than that. But obviously Kansas is going to have to find an answer there. In the offensive line, you know, there weren't a lot of holes in the run game. You know, there were breakdowns in protection. Bender got hit a lot. He was hurried a lot. He was sacked 6 times. So, you know, that was disappointing against a team like Nicholls State, because Kansas is going to see better front fours and front sevens than that. And the defense probably fits in somewhere in between. You know, it wasn't as nearly as bad as the offense was, and it wasn't as good as the special teams was. But when you go back and study a football game, you can't just look at a box score or just, you know, I go back and I look at this stuff. And, you know, the defense, when you look at it, Randy, it was not good in the beginning and it wasn't good at the end. The first drive and then the last drive of overtime are the last drive of regulation were the two that really stood out where they didn't play well. But I want to say after the opening drive, they gave up 9 plays, 78 yards. And after that, the next 12 drives Nicholls State had, they got a field goal and a touchdown. So in the second half, the defense limited Nicholls State to 129 total yards of offense. So, you know, the defense, you know, it wasn't a totally consistent game, but there were some things and some signs that the defense did and some adjustments that they made that they actually got some stops, which is, you know, obviously they're going to have to do to get some wins or get this thing turned around to what they want to do.
John, when you look at what happened in Week 1, how tough a loss was this? Do you think that this team, that this program can bounce back from what happened against Nicholls State?
You know, Randy, there hasn't been a lot for the program to bounce back. It's been hard. They've shown very little bounce back. Now, what we've learned from college football, when I talk to college coaches over the years that I've done this job, every year's different, okay? So just because a team last year couldn't bounce back or the team before that couldn't, you know, we'll have to see what these guys can do. You got a lot of senior leadership. You got a lot of juniors and seniors playing. You've got some guys with a lot of starts at the Division I level. So we'll have to see what these guys can all do and what the leaders can rally the troops and find out what the coaches, how they respond. I can tell you this, in the post game, sitting there talking to like Joe Dineen and Loniker and some of these guys in the post game, they were down. You could see it. Fontana came in. You know, he had a few bad snaps, and he was getting back into his first Division I experience after transferring from Houston. So when you look back at those guys and just their body language, those kids expected to go out and win. They felt that they worked really hard. They thought they were going to go out and win that football game. But the key is going to be, you know, Joe Dineen. I know some people joked about it, but, you know, he said that they went back and they watched the Nickel State tape and they flushed the game. They moved on and they went to Central Michigan. So, you know, that's going to be one of the big things that you look at them and did they really flush it and did they bounce back and can they do that? And by Tuesday, when I sat down with all the players again, you could tell the spirits were up, and, you know, in that time from when I saw them on Saturday to when I saw them on Tuesday, you could see a different demeanor about them, and, you know, you saw some smiles, and you saw a little bit of confidence come back that they feel they can go on the road and hang with Central Michigan.
John, we're going to get into Central Michigan in a second, and we'll talk with John Evans, who covers the CMU beat. Earlier in the week, Jeff Long released a statement following the loss to Nickel State. I'm going to read it now. Quote, "We all expected a different outcome Saturday, but I continue to support our student athletes and coaches and ask all Jayhawks to do the same. Our evaluation of the program is ongoing without a predetermined timeline," end quote. Kirby, I know you got the statement because you released it on the site. What was your take on this?
Well, my first take was, I know that this is local media reaching out to, you know, the sports information people at Kansas asking for a quote from Jeff Long, just what he thought on his first, you know, being his first game athletic director at the University of Kansas and, you know, what his thoughts are on the program after one game. Now, I think some people sensationalized this a little bit, okay? I think some people jumped to conclusions thinking like this meant a lot. This did not mean a lot. People got that wrong. Jeff Long, this is a pretty smart statement when you really look at this. Number one, this is the third Power 5 program Jeff Long's been to. Okay, I mean, you look back, I just watched a press conference the other day when he actually walked up and fired Bobby Petrino, you know, a few years ago when he was at Arkansas. I was watching that press conference, and this guy's handled a lot now. I mean, he was the president of the College Football Playoff Committee, the very first one they ever had. He's a seasoned veteran. He's 57 years old. He's been through the ringer. He knows what's going on. And he's a pretty smart guy. You know, I've had a chance to sit down and talk to him. So the predetermined, where he said the predetermined timeline, I think this was a statement to let everybody know, hey, I'm still behind the coaches. I'm still behind the players. He hopes everybody else is. And at the same time, we're evaluating this, and this is ongoing. And it was very smart with the predetermined part about the timeline, because let's say Kansas goes to Central Michigan and they lose, okay? The bottom line is he's saying, don't ask me this again. Don't ask me for a statement again. I gave you one. I told you there's no predetermined timeline, so don't think that my thoughts have changed since last week. And if they have, you're going to know it, and I'll let you know it. So, you know, Jeff Long's been through this thing before. And one thing that I know, talking with other people who know him and have seen him and watched what he's done, he's not going to be the type of guy who, if some alums send emails and, you know, pound his inbox with things, that's not going to sway this guy. He's been through the stuff. He's been through a lot of the AD battles. He's pretty seasoned. He's done it at the high level. So he's not going to be someone. He is going to do his evaluation, and he's going to do things when he sees fit. And I don't think you're going to see a lot of people sway him just because, you know, if it's a big donor or if it's a several medium donors or if it's a talk show hosts or editorials in a newspaper. He's not going to be swayed by that. He's going to stick to what he believes in.
Okay, I'm going to turn this over to the studio where John is standing by with John Evans from the Rivals.com Central Michigan site to get a little more information on CMU.
Thanks, Randy. Joining us now is John Evans, who covers the Central Michigan beat for Rivals.com. John, how you doing?
Great, John. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, you bet. You know, we were joking right before we got you on that not many people outside of the Central Michigan and Kansas fan base are probably going to be tuned into this game, but judging by what the Vegas odds makers are saying, it might be a competitive game. So I'll ask you, when you look back on the Central Michigan opener against Kentucky, what did you learn from them?
I think the biggest thing we learned is that CMU's defense is pretty legit. There were a lot of question marks with the secondary, a couple of young players starting at safety, redshirt freshman Devani Reed and sophomore Alonzo McCoy, but they really they lived up to the hype. Coach John Bonamigo has been really hyping up the redshirt freshman Devani Reed for quite a while now. Redshirted last year and then in the opener had 14 tackles, a fumble recovery for a touchdown and a pass breakup, and was awarded Mac West Defensive Player of the Week. So a lot of positives there on the defensive side of the ball. And then on offense, we learned that we don't really know what we learned. They were really vanilla, really conservative, and only averaged about 3.5 yards a play, which is kind of a dreadful number on offense. So I think we may see things open up a little bit more this week, but we definitely learned that the defense is going to be pretty good this year.
So going into the game against the Jayhawks, what are some things you think they have to improve?
The offense, like I said, they averaged just over 3.5 yards of play. They were really, really conservative, and I think that most of that was due to the fact that Tony Poljohn was starting his first game at quarterback, redshirt sophomore, and I think that we're going to see the playbook open up a bit here. Maybe not as much as some would like against Kansas. I think they're maybe holding back a little bit. We got Northern Illinois coming up, which is one of the top teams in the conference, but I think you're going to see the playbook open up just a little bit more, and the fans and everybody wants to see the offense improve. You got to score points if you want to win. I think the defense is good enough to hold Kansas down long enough for the offense to get the job done this week. But yeah, the offense needs to greatly improve, specifically the passing game. You know, I think the running game was pretty well against Kentucky, considering they got a pretty good front seven SEC team. And I think the running game did well with Poljohn, a lot of designed runs from the quarterback, but we need to see the passing game, especially the vertical passing game, improve.
So before the Kentucky game, I know there were some Central Michigan players who are fairly key players from what I understand that were on the injury report, and then you had a couple players that were ejected due to the targeting rule. So what's the latest on the guys with the injuries, and then how much will it affect those kids sitting out in the first half with the targeting rule?
Yeah, so we had a little bit of a surprise on the injury report. Fifth-year senior Devin Spaulding, who actually started at running back against Kansas last year, he's converted to wide receiver, mainly because the backfield is so stacked this year. So he was out in the first week, didn't even make the trip to Lexington. He will be back this week, and the wide receiver group really needs him in there. He's got the experience. He's a team captain. So that'll be a big boost for the offense, I feel, if they can get him the ball, some short passes in space. Logan Hesbrook, senior tight end, will remain out this week. I believe he's still in concussion protocol. And running back Romello Ross will also remain out this week. So those are still some key losses there. But they will get one guy back this week that did not play last week is Alex Briones. And he's a starting linebacker. He really kind of completes the trio at linebacker for the Chippewas. So they'll get a boost on defense from him as well. Senior linebacker Trevor Apsey was ejected in the third quarter last week for targeting. He'll have to sit out the first half. He started in place of Briones. He really kind of exceeded expectations. We weren't really sure what we were going to get from him, but he was all over the place, flying around the ball, made a ton of tackles. So fairly big loss there for the first half. I would expect him to rotate in a lot, judging by the way he played last week. And Taiwan Swain, senior defensive back, will also be out for the first half against Kansas because of a targeting call last week. A lot of targeting calls last week against Kentucky. It was a strange game by the officials. But he will have to sit out, and not as big of a loss. He's not a starter, but he does contribute in a lot of different ways, special teams, which is actually where he got the penalty, was on a punt return. But we will notice his loss for sure out there because he does contribute. He rotates in on defense, plays a lot of special teams.
And the final and the big question for you, how do you see the matchup against the Jayhawks, and give us your prediction?
It's really interesting how the line has kind of shifted. I think they opened as a 6-point favorite, the Chippewas did, and then I saw it moved maybe to 7, and then yesterday it was at 1.4.5. It's kind of strange how the line has moved a little bit. I actually think it might be a pretty good game. I think Kansas has the experienced players to come in and make it close, and the Chippewas offense still has a ton of question marks. So I think it's going to be a close game. I think CMU does win in front of the home crowd. I think there's going to be a good atmosphere at Kelly Short Stadium, maybe 34-21, something along those lines there. I think the offense picks things up a little bit. Tony Poljon a little bit more comfortable throwing the ball down the field. We get Devin Spaulding back in there, some veteran leadership. And I think that Kansas will definitely come out firing right away. We've talked about the road losing streak. You know, everybody's talked about that. So I think that they're definitely motivated, especially after CMU went to Lawrence last year and put 45 up on the scoreboard. So I think it's going to be a pretty good game, especially in the first half. I think it'll be pretty close. But I think CMU will end up pulling away with the defense at the end.
Great stuff. Hey, that's our man, John Evans. And, hey, I really want to appreciate you coming on the show, and enjoy the game tomorrow.
Absolutely. Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Kirby, before I get your thoughts on the Central Michigan game, let's listen to this clip about what David Beatty had to say regarding this week's matchup.
Big team, just like they were last year. Really big team. Terrific linebacker. Guy's a really good player. I think he's an NFL-type guy. They say he's one of the smartest players on the team, makes a lot of plays. They got an NFL corner I think is really good. They got a bunch of big dudes up front on the defensive line. Another big offensive line that he's got. The quarterback is very different from the one they had last year. I think he was their leading rusher, if I'm not mistaken, or at least he carried the ball the most. And he's a big dude. He's a big old guy. Not the fastest guy like the Morris kid was, but he is a big dude. And he ran the ball quite a bit for him. He threw pretty good. He was 17-27, but I thought the guy poses some problems. He's a lot different than what they were last year with regard to how he moves around, but he's definitely capable of hurting you. He can hurt you with his arm, and he's certainly a big dude. He's not easy to tackle. You get in third and short situations. I mean, quarterback runs something you have to be aware of. I think they do a really good job in special teams. Coach Bonamigo is one of those. He's a special teams coordinator from in the NFL, and he's always going to have them ready to go. They were missing some starters the other day, and when you turn on the tape, you really don't sense that you got a backup in there. I mean, their nickel played pretty well, and their number 17 wasn't there. I'm not sure where he was, but he wasn't there. He's a good player. 17 is, but his backup played really, really well. They had a couple of guys ejected, and both those guys were pretty good players. So I don't, you know, they shouldn't be with them, I don't think, in the first half, but in the second half, we're going to have to deal with them. I think they do a good job in the kicking game. They're opportunistic defensively. They had 3 turnovers in the first 4 drives. And offensively, they've got some weapons. They got some weapons. So, it's going to be a tough task going on the road, but I know our guys are excited about it, and we feel like it's a good matchup. So,
Kirby, this is obviously a big game for several reasons and could go a long way toward deciding the future of this coaching staff. How do you see this one playing out?
Well, you know, if I'm handicapping it, I know we've talked on the message board about the Vegas line coming out. I think it started at 6.5 or 7, and over the week it's dipped to like 4, 4.5. I've seen people post where their books have the line. So, you know, obviously the money's flowing in on Kansas right now, and at least people think that they're going to cover the spread when you look at the Vegas line, the way it's moved. But, you know, overall, Randy, the Nicholls State game, just as someone who follows the program, or if you're a fan, it leaves that bad taste in your mouth. So now you have the road game going in. You've got the streak that everybody's been talking about. The Jayhawks haven't won since 2008 or 2009. Heck, it's been so long. I've been covering the team since 1999, but the road streak's gone on so long, I even forget what year it's happened. So, you know, you take the factor of the loss. Kids were down. Can they bounce back? Now you're going on the road. You got this streak. I don't think Central Michigan has better players than KU. I mean, obviously the folks in Vegas don't, okay, because that line's dropping and the money's coming in on Kansas. And I just don't think they do. You know, last year I didn't think Central Michigan had better players. I thought Kansas last year was breaking in a brand new secondary. They had four new starters there. And those kids got a little bit better as the time went on. And Central Michigan took advantage of a lot of holes in the secondary last year. I think this game is more about KU than anything. Can they rebound? Can the kids come together? Can the coaches get them ready to play? You know, when this week started, I told you, I'm definitely hanging toward Central Michigan on this game. So I would just say right now, I would have to say, Central Michigan 27, Kansas 24. That doesn't mean Kansas can't win the game. I think this is a game KU can match up with them. But right now, you're just taking all the factors and putting it into one big melting pot and mixing it around. And I just keep coming out in my head with a close Central Michigan win.
All right, you heard it here first. That's going to John Kirby calling for a close loss for the Jayhawks to Central Michigan. That will wrap up the Central Michigan edition of the Inside Slant pregame podcast. Be sure and check jayhawkslant.com for information about our next episode with publisher John Kirby from jayhawkslant.com. This is Randy Withers saying, Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
This has been a podcast from jayhawkslant.com.